Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, hour number four, quattro of our radio program. So I was reading some excerpts from an article today in the Boston Herald. Hickey, this will excite you because you absolutely can't stand the Patriots. So you will love when there is drama in Patriot land. So a source told the Boston Herald, quote, "I love Coach Belichick, but he bleeped us when talking about the approach on offense this year." The team also reportedly had issues with guess who? Joe Judge in particular. A source told Callahan and Karen Garigian that Mac Jones didn't like Judge at all, while another added that Judge would speak extra loudly in meetings to project like he was the guy, which irked many in the locker room. So let's take this step by step. The Belichick one, it's fascinating to me because I've struggled with this all throughout the season. I have been someone, like all, from the start, like I'm not going on a limb here, that never understood what the Patriots were trying to accomplish on offense this year. To employ Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and have them run the offense never made any sense. Joe Judge, if you want to say, made a name for himself in this league as a special teams coordinator. Matt Patricia made a name for himself in this league as a defensive coordinator. And I told you this because there's one thing to say it. There's one thing to think it. And usually I think training camp practices, especially in what was the year of 2022, are a giant waste of time. They're monotonous. You don't really gather much from it, but every beat reporter that's there is like, oh, this person was 12 of 15 on his passes, or this and that happened. And every year there's a training camp hero who ends up being a zero. But when I went to Patriots training camp, I wanted to observe one thing. And it was actually joint practices, which are more beneficial than your typical training camp up against the Carolina Panthers. And what I saw was Belichick, it would almost look like he would say what they were doing on offense. Like, okay, let's do a run here. Let's do a pass. And then it was up to Joe Judge. All right, it was up to Matt Patricia to call the play. And then, like, Joe Judge was standing right behind him. Just in the early stages of training camp, it looked sloppy. It looked clunky. And that's what I observed just being there for one day, because Belichick would say something before every offensive play. Then Patricia would say something, and like Joe Judge, looking like a snake, was like right behind him. And I don't know how much input he had. But, like, you say that and you go, okay, that's a bad approach. It's a bad job by Belichick. But then also you look at the construction of the Patriots roster, and Belichick probably got the most out of this team that anyone could have this year. Like, they went into the last week of the season, I know they're going up against the Bills and you thought they had no shot, but controlling their own destiny, that if they would have won the game, they would have made the playoffs. So I don't know about you, Hickey, but when I look at Belichick this year, you can't say he did a good job. But then it's like tough to say he did a bad job. I think there's some things that you still acknowledge when you have Belichick. It's never going to be dreadful down and out. But his down years are like what happened this year. When you're on the outside looking in come playoff time, but you had a shot to make the playoffs and they went 8-9. Like, a bad year for Belichick is 8 or 9 kind of wins. Now, that is a major drop off from what the usual Belichick standard is. So it's very tough to describe Bill Belichick and the job that he did in 2022.
I would assess it this way. Bill Belichick, the coach, good job coaching the talent he had. Bill Belichick, the GM, awful.
But time out.
Awful.
Time out. You just said he did a Bill Belichick, the coach, good job. On the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball, you could make the case he's the biggest person to blame for this offensive mess. Forget the talent. He's the head coach of the team.
The GM would be fired. Bill Belichick, the GM.
No. But there is a difference. Forget the GM part. Because the coach, and you're going to look at me crazy, The coach is the one that makes a decision on who the offensive coordinator is. And he made a decision this year on the offensive side of the ball. If you're a good enough coach, you get to pick your staff. Belichick made the decision on the offensive side of the ball to allow Matt Patricia and Joe Judge run his offense. So that's why it's like tough for me to say he did a good job. But then, like you just said, you said he did a good job because of where the roster talent is, and they got to 8 wins. But it's tough for me to say the guy did a good job when he allowed that to go on the offensive side of the ball.
I guess to specify, the GM would also include, again, deciding the coaching role, because that, like, the on-field coaching, he did a good job. But everything else around him, putting himself, again, kind of basically just, for lack of a better word, just putting everything under the umbrella of GM, of picking the players but also picking the coaching staff, it's a big failure. And so he did a good job considering what we had around him, but he's also the biggest reason why what was around him was not very good. So it's catch 22.
I think it's the most confusing person to maybe describe the type of job that he did in the NFL. So that's the Belichick side of the whole thing. Now, when you get into the Joe Judge part of this report, this is 100% true. He would speak extra loudly in meetings. Fake tough guy Joe Judge, I could 1,000% see that. Guys, we're gathered around. This is what we're going to do. We're going to run this play on the offensive side of the ball. I'm in charge. And I always say this. If you're in charge, you have to tell people you're in charge. That means two things. One, you're not actually in charge. Or two, you're insecure. And Joe Judge had a title that he had a lot of power. But I think down deep, maybe Joe wasn't over the embarrassment of the Giants job and maybe didn't learn much from the Giants job, where he was like a military drill sergeant there from time to time. And when you don't win, it doesn't work. Same thing kind of happened here in New England, where maybe he was that drill sergeant. He's the sophisticated guy, preach it all about offense. But like, what are your qualifications to be coaching the quarterbacks? What's your qualification in the NFL, I'm talking about, to be having a big-time say on the offensive side of the ball? So it doesn't surprise me if that's true, that Judge would speak extra loudly in meetings.
And like you said, most of the hay he's made in the NFL has been on special teams, right? So what do they say? If you have nothing new to say, say it louder. So sure, Joe Judge can't add anything to offensive meetings. What is he going to be? Break it down, you know, three-step quarterback drops and how to do it. So he's just going to say what everyone else knows loudly. So people, like I said, think he's in charge. Anyway, he's speaking loudly, so he must know what he's talking about, when in reality, it's entry-level or not really that crazy of stuff that he's actually trying to convey.
I think what you learn here, the coach of the NFL, and I know a lot of older people are going to hate this, but what you thought of the coach of the NFL 20 years ago doesn't really exist in the game today. And the coach today needs to be player-friendly, but still have respect to the players. And I think that's big. You could be player friendly and have no respect to the players, and then that never works. But if you are player friendly and you have the respect of the players, then you could be a really successful coach in this league. Like, look at the guys that are in the conference championship round. Nick Sirianni, he does some unconventional things that he gets ripped for. Like, in the summer, he was getting killed by some of the Philadelphia local media for not having tough enough training camp practice, where the rules, like, don't even really allow it anymore. He's a guy that wears the players' jerseys. Like, you would never see that 15 years ago. You'd be considered a joke. But in that locker room, they respect everything Nick does. And when he has to get serious and when he has to criticize people, I think it hits a little bit differently and a little bit harder. You look at Kyle Shanahan, comes off as a player-friendly coach, but has the respect of the locker room. Zach Taylor, player-friendly coach, has respect of the locker room. Andy Reid, those guys love him in Kansas City. He's a legend, has the respect of the locker room. Like, Belichick, from what you hear from people, you see the guy in front of the camera, wow, what a pain in the ass he is. He gives nothing to the media. He seems like he has no fun. And then some people go to New England, they go, oh, it's not fun. But then there's others that say, like, Belichick is the funniest guy when you actually get to know him. But when you get to a guy like Joe Judge, I think players know he's a failed head coach. And then he comes in on the offensive side of the ball. It's like, dude, what are your credentials? And not that Mac Jones has this insane amount of clout in the league, but Mac Jones excelled at an elite level at Alabama under who? Nick Saban, right? Your traditional football coach. And then last year excelled or played satisfactory level with Josh McDaniels as his OC, who, say what you want about Josh McDaniels as a head coach, he's a well-respected offensive coordinator in the NFL. Now, like, Joe Judge comes in, and I think Mac wants, here's the irony of it, I think Mac wants to be coached hard, but it's tough to be coached hard by someone that you're like, all right, you're just making me do all these things, but I don't think you actually know what you're doing. And I think Joe Judge knows that perception about him. I think Patricia knows the perception about him on the offensive side of the ball. And they have their approach that worked well on special teams and defense. But when you're not having the results, really doesn't matter. Like, no one's going to take you seriously. So I don't know if Patricia's going to be back with the team. There's like a lot of ambiguous stuff about his future. It looked like Joe Judge wasn't going to be back in the coaching staff, but then for one of these bowls that the coach himself participated in, Joe Judge was on that staff, so I guess Joe Judge is back. But when it comes to Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, like, I don't know what their roles are going to be next year, but all we do know is that Bill O'Brien was brought in to be the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. Well, last year we know Joe Judge was the quarterback coach. So I don't know what their roles are going to be coming up this year. Quite frankly, I don't think Belichick, since, and this is the thing, can't really be all that friendly with people. Now, I know you got to be friends in this league, but you sometimes got to cut your friends here. I don't really see what the purpose is anymore, Hickey, of having Joe Judge or Matt Patricia in the Patriots organization.
Well, I was just going to ask that, like, you can't bring him back. Now, it seems like Joe Judge will be back, where Matt Patricia's, like you mentioned, his future is a little more up in the air. But, I mean, honestly, like, especially for Joe Judge, where is he going to go where he'd actually be taken seriously? And I know Matt Patricia was kind of like a fish out of water on the offensive side of the ball compared to where he mostly, again, made most of his career on the defensive side. It's also when you come to, like you mentioned, like, kind of respect and having the players' ear and having the players respect you, maybe the defensive players will kind of, you know, again, you're not in the meetings as much, so you don't really kind of know what Patricia's doing offensively, but I think it's tough to kind of look at either of them with a straight face, even if it's in a new role on a different side of the ball than they were last year, to still take him seriously knowing how this past year went and how a guy like Mac Jones, who's, again, only a second-year player, is having outbursts on the field almost every single week because he doesn't, you know, trust or, frankly, hates Matt Patricia and what he's doing. Tough to take him seriously.
So the original tweet that I saw about the Shrine Bowl, the East Shrine Bowl, the East-West Shrine Bowl, was it did not mention Joe Judge or Matt Patricia. But then there was a clarification tweet from Ian Rappaport. As the Patriots staff head to Vegas for the Shrine Bowl, my understanding is that Bill Belichick and assistants Bill O'Brien, Gerard Mayo, Joe Judge, and Steve Belichick will attend but won't be coaching. Most of the remaining current staff members will coach new positions. So just to clarify that. So Judge is going with the Patriots, and you have Belichick, Mayo, Judge, and Steve Belichick. They'll attend, but they won't be coaching. Nothing about Matt Patricia. Nothing. So if I had to guess here, I think Joe Judge is involved in some capacity on the coaching staff this year. I'm going to say they moved Patricia upstairs. Because when he came back, like, that was kind of his role. He did a lot of things, like, upstairs. You know, once Casario left the team as well, like, a kind of not replaced that role necessarily, but he did a lot of, like, administrative things upstairs. I guess that's what Patricia's going to do, because Belichick and Patricia are, like, actually friends. So I don't know what they're going to do, but that would be probably my guess there, Hickey. I would just get rid of both of them.
I was going to say, I mean, I guess he can hide in oblivion then and just do some, like I said, clerical work or filings.
But, like, why even want to do that?
If you're Patricia, I don't know. It's embarrassing, but I also at the same time, like, could he get another job? I honestly don't know.
Now, if they put him back on the defensive side of the ball, I'm fine. Like, if they tell him next year, I know Gerard Mayo basically has the say on the defensive side of the ball, but if, like, you want to tell him you're going to coach linebackers or something, I'm fine with that. for Patricia. If you want to make Judge a part of the special team staff, I'm fine with that.
But I guess it goes back to the question I asked before, like, would the players respect him? Like, if he's a linebacker's coach.
I think on defense they would. I think the defensive players would. Remember, you don't, when you're a defensive side of the ball coach, not like you have that much interaction with the offense
right,
side of the
ball. Right, and that's what I was just kind of talking about before, just trying to, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming, like I said, it's you don't really know what's going on, so it's hard, I guess, to lose as much respect as the offensive players have, but it's a really embarrassing situation for those two and how unqualified they were this past year.
And it all goes back to Bill, because you should have never put those guys in that position. I still don't get why O'Brien wasn't brought in last year. Because there was rumors of that last year. And then a year later it happens? That doesn't make sense.
Wasn't there a report that he was afraid he was going to leave? You know, one and done?
Who cares? Make that a one and done instead of bleeping Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
Maybe Bill's Rolodex is not as, I guess, vast as we thought in terms of getting coaches there. I don't know.
Bro, Belichick. Guy's been around
if you're afraid
the guy's been around the game like three times your life.
If he's going to leave after 1 year and you're worried about, you know, I guess trying to find his replacement.
It's not that the Rolodex isn't deep. It's how selective Bill is.
Well, that's part of it then.
That's what it is. It's how selective. It's
not that also then adds to a lack of, no, I'm not saying it has a lack of connection. I'm just saying it's a lack of people available to coach the position, to do the job.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we do come on back, let's get a little update on all the coaches around the league. As the Panthers, with the jobs open, they did hire Frank Reich. We'll discuss the Broncos job, the Colts job, the Cardinals job, and the Texans job when we do return.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So Frank Reich is the new head football coach of the Carolina Panthers. You haven't really seen a lot of negativity, I would say, about this hire because Frank Reich is a good guy. He is easy to root for. He had some success with the Indianapolis Colts, but this to me is a very uninspiring hire. This to me is a hire that just makes me go, could you have done better? Like if I'm a Panthers fan today, I don't have this great conviction that we have the coach that's going to turn it around and bring the Carolina Panthers back to consistently being a playoff team. And I know Frank did some good things in Indianapolis, but at the end, the last 2 years, it got really ugly. It got really bad. He went all in on Carson Wentz, his guy. It was going to work. He was going to turn Carson Wentz's career around in Indianapolis. And after 1 year, he wanted, or it wasn't even him, Jim Irsay wanted no more of Carson Wentz. And you look at that, if it was probably up to Frank Reich, he probably would have kept Carson Wentz. So I don't love that. You saw him constantly the last 2 years lose games to Tennessee, go down to Jacksonville, never beat them. And this is my favorite stat maybe from the football season because it's like almost impossible to be this bad. He got outscored in the games he coached this year in the first half, first 30 minutes of football, 118. To 42. They never had a lead at halftime. Like, Hickey, you've watched a lot of bad football. To never have a lead at halftime, it's almost impressive. Because that's tough to do. You can't have 1 week where your preparation actually pays off. You don't have 1 week where you go into halftime with a lead. I'm not asking you to move mountains. I'm not even saying you got to win the game. Just go up like 10-7 into halftime. You know, maybe you make an extra point. The other team misses an extra point. You go in 7-6 with a lead. Like all the things that happened this year with the Colts. You can't say it's the most stunning because the most stunning thing is that your owner elected to replace Frank Reich with Jeff Saturday as the interim head coach. But after that, I would think the most stunning thing with the Colts this year and the worst stat for them is that they got outscored in every first half by a wide margin with Frank Reich as the head football coach.
I don't know. Like, I don't blame that on him, to be honest.
He's the coach of the team.
The offensive line stunk. It's his fault, don't get me wrong, but, and he was handcuffed. So it's his fault. Again, I'm not taking away blame.
Okay, but there are coaches.
I wouldn't just use, I guess, that stat as an indictment of him as a coach, is, I guess, my point.
Okay, how about always going down to Jacksonville and not winning? How about the last 2 years never having a shot up against, you know, never playing well up against Tennessee? Like, I don't get why you keep on just handing out excuses after excuses for this guy.
No, I'm just being realistic in general. The offensive line was, to me, the biggest story of the season, and their lack of, or their major failure, and that's part of the reason why Matt Ryan also doesn't help when you can't hold on to the ball, which is, again, you got to coach it out of him, but also at the same point, it's not Frank Reich dropping the ball or throwing a pick, like, unfortunately, Matt Ryan did all this season. I'm just saying, like, there's plenty of reasons outside just Frank Reich not being a good coach this year as to why the Colts were bad overall.
You would concur that Jeff Saturday is a bad coach, right? You would concur?
Yes.
The first week, Jeff Saturday was the coach of the Colts. They had a lead going into halftime. Same roster. Like, I'm not saying Jeff Saturday is a better coach than Frank Reich, but did I have a lead once going into halftime? Is a disgrace.
But if you lose every game after that, what's the, like,
I guess. Like, I'm asking just for one time he couldn't do it. And it's not like you guys were playing Murderer's Row.
You and there were 3-5-1 on that when schedule. He was fired. So it's,
again, the Broncos on that schedule.
It's not like, again, it's the first halves were maddening. Don't get me wrong. But again, they won 3 games. It's like, I just don't think like that, to me, is a stat that I look at as a reason why he should not be hired.
Well, it shows that his preparation for these games have been absolutely horrendous.
For this year and this year only. Okay.
What about the 2 years ago with those 2 games up against Tennessee? What about the Jacksonville game when he didn't have the entire team ready in Jacksonville, the team of the number one overall pick?
Oh, yeah. No one gets skirted by any blame there for sure, but, and there's also plenty of reasons I could look to and point to make Frank Reich a good head coach.
What's the ceiling of Frank Reich in Carolina? What do you think Frank Reich could do with the Carolina Panthers?
I guess it depends who the quarterback is, how he can develop him, but playoffs for sure. Like, is it crazy as Super Bowl? I don't think so.
Oh, it's look ridiculous what he helped do to say Super Bowl.
Eagles and Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz.
As an offensive coordinator, some guys are just better fit to be an offensive coordinator than head coach. I don't think Frank Reich is this wonderful head coach.
You were in Philly when people were questioning what? Was that Super Bowl when Frank Reich left more about Frank Reich or Doug Peterson?
Yeah, and all
right
those people were wrong.
It's like he did nothing. My point is he's a very good offensive mind, and if you get the right quarterback that he can work with, I don't think it's crazy to say they could be one of the best in the league.
And Doug Peterson quickly has shown how just ridiculous that take was in Philadelphia. And it bugged me because it was people basically not just wanting to give credit to Doug Peterson. I think Frank Reich is a guy that can make the playoffs here or there, never makes it consistently, and will never win a Super Bowl as a head coach in this league. I'll even say he'll never get to an AFC title game as a head coach with the Carolina Panthers.
Is Steve Wilkes getting to an NFC title game? Is Steve Wilkes' ceiling higher than Frank Reich?
I think it's pretty much the same. I really do. Steve Wilkes was in the building already. Steve Wilkes, with a team that was a disaster the first few games of the season, saved the ship from sinking. I'm not telling you Steve Wilkes is going to be this wonderful head football coach, but if you couldn't get a big name like Harbaugh or Sean Payton, I think it's pretty obvious what you should have done. Should have just continued to roll with what you had, and you don't have to commit 5 years to Steve Wilkes if you make him the permanent head coach. I don't know what the Frank Reich deal is, to be fair, but this hire, to me, it's uninspiring. This is a hire that I think it's more so people are just like, oh, yeah, we like Frank Reich. Oh, Frank is a respectable guy. The last 2 years in Indianapolis were a disaster. They were horrible. You were talking about that team down the stretch in 2021, and you were even the person saying this the most. And it wasn't just you. Dan Orlovsky, who we love, said it as well. Oh, they're a dark horse to go to the Super Bowl. They didn't even make the playoffs. They couldn't even beat the team that had the number one draft pick. And then this year, he was 3-5-1 and never had a lead going into halftime. I don't see what's all that about Frank Reich. I honestly think for a lot of these hires this year, and there's only 5 jobs available, seems like a lot of these names are going to be like uninspiring hires. And sometimes, to be fair, if you don't win the press conference or if it's not the most popular hire, it ends up working. So maybe I end up being wrong. Like Doug Peterson, when he was hired in Philadelphia, oh, people Called in the Village Idiot, Mike Lombardi. He's the least qualified coaching hire in the history of the NFL. I was like laughing when I heard that. And Doug won a Super Bowl. So maybe the second time works for Frank Reich as a head coach. But for Carolina, if I'm a Panthers fan, am I excited today? I can't say I'm excited. I'm like, okay, we got a coach. Yeah, keep pounding. Go Panthers. Woohoo! I don't see what's all that about Frank Reich. But the narrative about Frank Reich is going to be Frank Reich, they got a wonderful coach. They got a well-respected man. Just because I have respect for Frank Reich. I like Frank Reich. But just because of that doesn't mean I have to think he's going to be a great head coach. I think a lot of people today believe that Frank Reich's going to be a great head coach. All right. I know we did this earlier. The other jobs, let's go through them right now. Broncos, who are you predicting one more time that's going to get that job?
I'll go D'Amico Ryans.
And I'm with you as well. Colts, where's your prediction at?
Brian Callahan, Bengals offensive coordinator.
Okie dokie. And I'm taking Jeff Saturday. He's getting the second interview. Do I think he should be the coach? Absolutely not. But I think Jim Irsay is bat bleep crazy, and he's going to hire Jeff Saturday. Cardinals, we both going Sean Payton here?
Sean Payton.
Long interview today. It's actually embarrassing if he doesn't get offered the job with how long that he interviewed today. Because you would agree, Hickey, maybe one thing we could agree on. If you're interviewing for that long and you're Sean, makes it appear that you want the job.
Well, I think it's more embarrassing if he doesn't get offered the job than the Cardinals not offering it to him. Like, if you were spending that much time with him, kind of like the Vikings last year, Jim Harbaugh, you learn a lot about him, you see how it goes, and you say, not for us. I think it's that bad of a look on the Cardinals as it would be for Sean Payton.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad look in the Cardinals. I think it would be a bad look on Sean.
I agree. Just like Jim Harbaugh.
Like, you are the most highly sought after coach on the market. If you're interviewing with someone for what, you said like north of 8 hours today? Estimated, right?
Yeah. Got in at 9 a.m. local time, leaves around, I don't know. They were seen leaving together, the owner, Michael Bidwell, and Sean Payton's. Maybe that continued on. Maybe they're at dinner right now. Maybe. Who knows? Talking about contracts, talking about trades. First round pick, second round pick.
How much salary you want? Makes me think a deal's going to get done for him. Now, there's always the complexity of, do you want to match what the Saints are offering and all that, and how you're going to figure that out? Because I don't think the Cardinals are going to want to give up their third overall pick in the draft for him. So then what do you find out what the compensation is that has to go in return to the Saints? And then the Texans. I'm going with Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I agree. Yeah. I think D'Amico Ryans is interesting, but I think he will take the Broncos job. I will say Jonathan Gannon as well.
Was that your choice earlier for the Texans?
I believe so.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Do you remember what you picked?
No, I don't. But remember, there was a report initially that D'Amico Ryans was not interested in the Texans job.
Okay.
So I don't remember who I picked.
Did you pick D'Amico Ryans to the Broncos?
No.
See what I have to work here with
my. I can't even remember what D'Amico Ryans said 3 hours. For any job. I don't know. I don't remember. Are you talking about in the show?
We did this in the first hour.
Oh, we did this like last week though. I think we meant last week. No, D'Amico, Jonathan Gannon for the Texans. I think I just said no, we did it 3 hours ago.
Marco, am I going crazy here?
I'm a little lost. Yeah. I'm a little confused.
You good today?
Yeah.
Okay.
It seem like last week when you were asking me who did I pick. That's why I was confused.
Okay. Whatever you say.
Yeah, D'Amico Ryan to the Broncos, Jonathan Gannon to the Texans.
What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Oatmeal.
What'd you have for lunch?
PB&J.
What'd you have for breakfast yesterday?
Oatmeal.
What'd you have for lunch yesterday?
PB&J.
How about 3 days ago for breakfast?
Oatmeal.
Have it for lunch.
PB&J.
Yeah, that sounds like a reliable source. That's a good eater, though, by the way. Someone that tries a lot of new things, as he claims. I got Hickey to finally budge, though.
What's that?
Remember when yesterday he was like, oh, there's 0% chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That Jeff Saturday was going to get the Colt job. I said, oh, why don't you shave your head if he gets the job? And he mm-hmm. goes, I'm not going to do that. He said today he will get a 63 shaved into his head if Jeff Saturday does get the Colt job.
That's better than shaving your head.
Yeah, I like the top of my hair.
You're just afraid it's not going to come back?
No, I know it's going to come back. I'm pretty ugly with short hair. I had it for most of my life. I did not look very good. So if I keep the top and the back is what's short, I have no problem with that. But again, this is all hypothetical because it's not going to happen. Because Jeff Saturday's not getting the job, so there will be no 63 in the back of the head. Hmm. But to answer your question, yes, I like the hair on my top more than any other side or back.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, doesn't everyone value the top of their hair compared to the sides? If you had to buzz off right now, we said, Marco Bloody, you have to buzz off one side of your head.
What? Again, the whole point would be to shave your head. Why am I buzzing one part of it? Well, why am I Mr. T now? Like, I don't understand.
I'm just asking. Just, like, the if part you're asking everyone me what I, values the most
would I become,
is the top.
You know, Anthony Mason and put nicks in the side of my head, or would I just shave my head? I think I'd just go with the shaved head. It's a little easier.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little easier. Yeah, but I don't have to have a conversation with everybody that I walk past.
To talk this about.
You know? Everybody you got to walk past, they're going to say, what's with the 63? If you walk by with a shaved head, nobody cares.
Yeah, you can wear a hat for a few weeks.
People will ask, what is wrong with you?
If you shave your head?
Yes.
No, you won't.
Really?
Yes.
No, they won't.
Why?
Everyone sees me with my hair every day. It's about work or in general?
No, I'm talking about life.
The people I know will ask questions. So the questions are being asked, whether it's at work, whether it's people outside of work.
Who's asking you about your hair? Stu Kovacs?
Everyone I see. Everyone knows the hair I have. And if all of a sudden I come in tomorrow with a buzz cut, are you going through a midlife crisis or a quarter life crisis?
I'll tell you, that company holiday party that Hickey didn't attend, everyone was talking about his hair. Everyone's talking about his hair.
Wow, man. I didn't realize you were so attached to your hair.
Marco, if you shaved your beard tomorrow, everyone you know in your life, whether it's here, family, friends you see, will ask, oh, you know, new look?
Maybe for 10 seconds, for one day.
Yeah.
You got to walk around with a 63 in the back of your head for how long now?
I don't know how. Well, my hair grows pretty fast. So maybe not that long, but it beats the shaved head, that's for sure.
All right, we'll take a break here.
I don't see what's so hard to comprehend.
Do what you want, man.
All right, Marco.
Hickey's just losing friends here left and right.
I you make it seem like the shaved head, it's like it's 1975 where it's a big deal. Like now everybody shaves their head now.
It's a big deal to me. I don't like the look. I'd rather keep most of my hair.
But again,
this is not happening, but if it was to happen, it's not.
So if it's not happening, if it's a 0% chance that you think there is zero shot that Jeff Saturday gets the job, why won't you just risk shaving your whole head if it's not happening?
Because like I said, if I somehow am wrong, which I will not be, but if, again, God forbid I'm wrong.
So then just admit that there's a chance.
I don't want to have insult to injury and lose my hair on top of having a bad head coach.
This was a simple thing, right?
Yeah.
You're hedging because there's a chance.
Yes.
No, I'm not hedging.
Yes, you are.
So
I'm just playing the game. You guys said do something for it, so I'm just, okay, I'm doing what you ask.
You're the most stubborn person I've ever met.
I don't get what's so hard to comprehend here.
Because it's really showing that you believe there is a chance. That if you won't risk the most prized possession in your life, which is your hair, that there's a shot that this is going to happen.
And that's not a gambler, which I am not.
But you're willing to gamble the six. All right, you know, hypocrite. Hickey.
I'm just concerned about Ryan more than anything else because if the most prized possession is your hair, dude, that's scary. I mean, you're heading into middle age. There's a good chance that, you know, it goes away. You might have to get comfortable with that.
If it's natural, then fine.
All right, we'll get to the closing bell next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every US of One NFL broadcast streams live for free on the road to Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WesOne Sports.com. Via WesOne station streams or by asking Alexa to open WesOne Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Let's get to
the closing bell. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, Dan Quinn is going back to the Dallas Cowboys, had three interviews for the five NFL jobs that are available to become a head coach once again in this league. And you may be saying, Zach, why are you giving Dan Quinn a stock up? Well, I'm not giving his agent a stock up because last year he was a highly sought after coach, or we thought, then goes back to Dallas. People thought he was going to then take over for McCarthy this year. Oh, he'll get a job. And I think he's going back to Dallas because he realized he wasn't going to get one of the three jobs that he was interviewing for. So Dan Quinn's agent keeps on putting a positive spin out there. And Dan Quinn says, yeah, I just want to go win a Super Bowl in Dallas. Yeah, sure. You want to be head coach again in this league. But I got to give a credit to your agent, because obviously these teams don't love what they're hearing from you, but you keep on getting a seat at that big boy table. So give a stock up to Dan Quinn's agent. Tyrese Maxey of the 1-2-3-4-5 Sixers, 10-9-8-76ers, in a 137-133 win up against the Brooklyn Nets last night, had 27 points. Give Tyrese Maxey a stock up. We'll give a little 30-point club stock up here. Last night, Kyrie Irving with 30. Kyle Kuzma with 33. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 33, 14 rebounds, 3 steals. Anthony Edwards, 37 points in the Timberwolves' win up against the Pelicans. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 36 points in a Thunder's loss to the Hawks, where Trae Young had 33 points. Steph Curry had 34 points. And I think I'm missing someone here. I'll tell you in a second. We'll give all those guys a stock up, though, first. Dame Dollar Time. How about him last night? A 60-burger. 60.7 rebounds and 8 assists for Dame Dollar Time. I've said this once. Said it probably twice, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, a bunch of times. Dame Dollar Time is my favorite player in the league. 21 of 29 from the field last night. 9 of 15 from 3. 9 of 10 on his free throws. 8 assists. 60 points. No big deal, as Hickey would say. No big deal. Trailblazers 134-124 win over the Utah Jazz. Give a stock up to Dame Dollar Time. All right. I got to show some love to Anthony Davis. Lakers beat the Spurs last night, 113-104. And Anthony Davis had 21 points, 12 rebounds, 4 blocks. Give the brow a stock up. I never thought I'd be giving this guy a stock up this year, Hickey. Nathaniel Hackett. Got a job. Got an offensive coordinating job. And I think we can acknowledge some guys could be good offensive coordinators, awful head coaches. I'm not even saying Nathaniel Hackett's this great offensive coordinator, but we know he is a terrible head coach. But congratulations to Nathaniel. Stock up. The Carolina Panthers. You had all this time to figure out who your next head coach was going to be. You fired Matt Rhule after the Niners game early in the season. All that time you had sitting, waiting, wishing. Well, Jack Johnson line right there. On who's going to be your next head football coach. And Frank Reich is the name that emerges? Really? Frank Reich? Solid coach, coach at times. But the last 2 years, disaster. Absolute disaster in Indianapolis. Like, Hickey, that's the other part of this. Yet all this time. All this time to figure out what you were going to do. And you waited months and months and months. And this is the hire? That's uninspiring to me. So I give a stock down to David Tepper. Really, he's looking like an overrated owner. When he got in, oh, he's going to be wonderful. He's going to be great. He's going to be sensational. Made some bad moves in Carolina. Finally, Kellen Moore. He's on the hot seat. I think his seat may already be lit on fire, and they're cleaning up the ashes right now on that hot seat. Because according to that Mike McCarthy press conference today, didn't seem all that encouraging. Didn't seem like a guarantee that Kellen Moore was going to be back with the Dallas Cowboys this year. And once again, he's not getting a head coaching job, so looks like Kellen Moore is on his way out of the Dallas Cowboys. Just from the tone of that press conference today with Mike McCarthy. So give a stock down to Kellen Moore. All righty, that is the closing bell. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you today to Sauce Gardner for joining us from the Jets, and also Brian Robinson Jr. from the Washington Commanders. If you missed any of those conversations, you go to Instagram. You could go to Twitter. At Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And the link in my Twitter bio, while you're there, you know, may as well give us a follow. You can go click on it. And when you click on it, you get all the links to the show. That's what you could do. So if you don't want to do that because you're lazy, you're on the Odyssey app right now, you just use the rewind function. You can find Sauce Gardner at 7:20 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Brian Robinson Jr., who joined us at 8:20 p.m. Eastern time tonight as well. We'll be back tomorrow for a big, 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 big Football Friday show. Conference Championship weekend is here. And we'll have a whole lot cooking tomorrow. Talk to you then. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Big thanks to all of you. Talk mañana, everybody. Bye-bye. We out. Peace.